Welcome to the Space Show, Carlo.
Oh, you're welcome. It's good to be here.
What is the Geelong Amateur Radio Club?
Well, we were an association of amateur radio operators, commonly called ham radio operators. Our club started in the early 60s and has been meeting every Friday since. We also meet on Wednesday afternoons, for those that can't make it on Friday night. And we promote amateur radio and related electronics subjects.
So what are some of the activities that you do?
Well, as a club, we encourage members to get their licence or upgrade their licence to the highest possible standards. And as a club, we also participate in many contests around the world and around Australia. And you'll see over here, for example, we operate shortwave, VHF, UHF and microwave contests. And judging by the number of certificates on the wall in our club room, we've won well over 90% of every contest ever been in Australia, because we're pretty good at it.
Well done. Now, some people are not familiar with the terms VHF, UHF, shortwave and so on. Could you just very briefly explain what those terms are?
Yes, well, it relates to the frequency of the radio signal. In the amateur licence, we're licensed to operate right down to 200-odd kilohertz, way below the broadcast band frequency, and then 1.8, 3.6, 7, 14, 21, 28, 50 megahertz, 144, this is what we call VHF frequencies, very high frequency. UHF is higher than that, so 432 megahertz, 1296, 2.4, 5.7, 10 gigahertz, they're the microwave frequencies, and right up to 24, 47, 78 gigahertz.
And one of the things that your club does is talk via satellite.
Well, yes. A number of our members have their own capability at home to talk through amateur satellites. Since the early 60s, there have been a couple of hundred amateur satellites launched into space, usually as secondary payloads. And these satellites also transmit and receive on the amateur frequencies, so we can talk through them, we can monitor their telemetry beacons, and the organisations that run them, they can control those satellites through the amateur frequency band allocations.
And I believe one of those satellites came back to life after being dead for some years.
Ah, Oscar 7, yes. That was launched in the early 70s and ran quite successfully for about 15 years or so, can't remember now. And then it died, so it had already been replaced by other satellites at that stage. About 7 or 8 years ago, it came back to life, and what had happened was that the internal batteries that had originally short-circuited had corroded themselves out of circuit, so that then allowed the solar panels to run the electronics directly without being shorted to ground, and so the satellite continues to operate to this day whenever it's in... whenever it's illuminated by the sun.
And I believe it's now the oldest operating amateur satellite.
Yes, in fact it could well be one of the oldest satellites, full stop, that's ever been built and still operating. And I haven't used it for a year or two, but every morning between about 5:30 and 6:30 it does a pass over the east coast of Australia, so you can quite easily work through it with a couple of watts of power into New Zealand or Sydney or Brisbane.
So you talk to other amateurs in those places?
Yes, yeah, we have a band allocation around 145.9 megahertz, and we have a segment in there about 50 kilohertz wide, just tune up and down and put out a call, and surely someone will be listening or have a listen for other communications and join in. The pass will usually last around about 10 minutes, where you've got an average duration between about 5 and 15 minutes, depending on how low down in the horizon the satellite is.
Now, you need a license to broadcast, don't you? But anyone can listen in?
Of course, anyone can listen, although you'll need an amateur radio to tune into those frequencies usually. But any shortwave radio will be able to tune up to 30 megahertz, and then for the VHF frequencies, you'll need a dedicated VHF radio to listen to those frequencies. But also, we use single sideband a lot because that's the best way of getting long distance with narrow bandwidth, whereas commercial radios tend to be FM only, so you may not be able to hear our communications. You'll need a dedicated single sideband receiver, or you can build a transverter or a converter to convert the frequency down to something, another frequency. That's an easy project to do.
And what's one of your other projects?
Well, when we say project, we encourage people to do things for themselves, but there's certainly plenty of support available. So the we've talked about satellites. There are a couple of other modes of communicating. I'm talking now VHF and UHF. Traditionally, these frequencies were only allowed to communicate the line of sight, so they might be 200 or 300 kilometres at the most. There are methods of increasing that distance. One exotic means is meteor scatter. As you know, the Earth is bombarded by thousands of meteorites every day, especially between midnight and 6 o'clock in the morning. So whenever those meteorites come through the ionosphere, they leave behind an ionized trail that allows high frequency signals to refract through them, and so you can get you can communicate with someone in Brisbane quite happily for about you've got about 5 seconds to do it, and so provide you're listening at precisely the right frequency, you can talk to each other and exchange a signal report. Or these days, we just get the computers to do the talking because they can swap communications and confirm reception and send back a receipt signal, less than a second. So that's one way to do it. So it's called meteor scatter.
And so basically, the meteor, when it enters the atmosphere, makes a very short-lived ionosphere.
Yes, yeah. The trail could be about 5 or 10 kilometres long, because it's moving so and instantly the atoms in the atmosphere are ionized. Eventually they recombine with each other, and then they don't refract the signal anymore. So shortwave and communications are always based on how much ionization there is in the atmosphere.
So yeah, I remember years and years ago, there was talk about using the moon as a relay for commercial communications. But that didn't really work out. But you guys still do that?
Yeah, since around about 1954, 1955, that's when the first Earth-Moon-Earth communications were done by amateurs. That's the holy grail of all amateurs to be able to do this. By having a decent antenna system and a low-noise receiver, from about 50 megahertz and upwards, you can bounce a signal off the moon, and so it's become so commonplace nowadays that the Americans even have a couple of contests running each year, 24-hour contests where you can have to contact as many stations as you can via moon bounce. So that's a thousand watts is what you really need to be able to talk. If you want to use less power than that, you can use less power, but you need to use digital modes of communication. So basically it's computers talking to each other, and that's quite easy to do nowadays.
Well, Carlo, if someone wants to get involved in all this, how do they go about doing it?
Well, you need an amateur licence. So have a look anywhere on the internet. In Australia, our governing body is the Wireless Institute of Australia, the WIA. If you go to that website, you'll find links to various radio clubs. We're scattered throughout Australia. There'll be information on how to get your licence, and the study requirements to achieve those. So you need to do some basic electronics. There's a couple of levels of licence available to you. The highest levels of licence allow you to use the highest power and the largest number of frequencies. A couple of years of study usually will be what you need to part-time study to get those licences. But there is a foundation licence, an entry level, so a basic interest in anything technical will be almost good enough to get you through that simple test, simple examination. You need to learn some regulations, some of the laws around use of radio, Because remember, once you have these licenses, you have the right to build and use your own equipment. So it has to be built to meet certain requirements. There's no class licensing of equipment required. So you have to be reasonably competent at what you're doing, hence the need for a specialised licence to do this. Licence costs about $50 a year, and it's about $30 or $40 to set the exam.
And how much does the equipment cost typically?
Well, you can build a simple transmitter, say, to operate on shortwave, hook it up to Morse code key. The very cheapest you can do that is probably about $3 if you just cannibalise all the bits and pieces. And there's all sorts of equipment. The most expensive radios that I've seen cost around about $15,000, but that's there's absolutely no need for that. The average 100 watt transmitter that you can easily use to communicate with anywhere in the world, a second hand one, these days you can get one for about $100 or $200.
So it's not just for the rich.
No, that's right. And the fun part is, these days there's so many radios out there, you don't have to worry about building one. You just pick up a second-hand one that's quite easy, run some coaxial cables out to the backyard. You still have the ability and the freedom and the ease of building your own antennas. That's the one of the satisfying things. And a small tower will be useful. You'll need to meet building requirements there, and if you're going to go higher than 14 metres, well, you'll need a planning permit. But otherwise, a shorter antenna than that will get you easily around the world, depending on the sunspot solar activity in the sun. We're going into a decline now, so the next 3-4 years it's going to be quite difficult to communicate via shortwave signals around the world. It'll pick up again in about 5 or 6 years' time.
Which means it might be a good time to go into the satellite stuff.
Yeah, that's right. So during these years when there's less activity on the shortwave bands, we concentrate on doing other activities such as satellites or microwave communications, which are not so dependent on the activities on the sun.
Well, Carlo, if someone wants to talk to you on the radio, what's your call sign?
Well, I'm VK3BCL. That's VK3 Bravo Charlie Lima. But really, you just turn on the radio and put a call out there. If you want to put out a call to anyone, you just call, you give your call sign and call in, just call CQ, and that's the international code for I'd like to have a contact with anybody at all.
Yeah, if you're listening, call me.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, thanks, Carlo, for joining us on the Space Show.
Very good. Pleased to be here.